In today's episode, we're going to be diving into a whole lot of trade news from not only the Dolphins and Chris Greer getting all those picks while just moving down three spots, but Pat Riley, the godfather himself, and the Miami Heat improving their roster, adding Nemanja Bjelica and Victor Oladipo. Man, this is a great time to be a South Florida sports fan, a Miami sports fan. This is great. This is going to be a great episode, guys. So get ready for this one. Welcome to the Miami Sports Vibes podcast with Nando Diaz. Episode 11 is here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this one. I love the support, love the feedback. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I say it all the time because I mean it. This episode is going to be another jam-packed one. First, I'm going to cover all the Dolphins news over the week with my guy Brandon, then shift over to the Miami Heat trades as well. So let's get right into the Miami Dolphins. All right, guys, so I want to welcome a huge Dolphin fan like myself. He's going to be joining me for this week's segment. His name is Brandon. Great guy. Met him through Twitter. He also has a podcast of his own called Diving in the Deep End. You can follow him on Twitter at FinFanForLife91. Brandon, how's it going, man?
Good, Nando. I'm excited to be here, dude. And as always, talk some Dolphins football, man. It's been a crazy week, so I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Crazy to say the least, man. After that trade on Friday, Greer took us all by surprise, man. He's a magician, man. He's playing chess. He's playing chess, not checkers over there, man. What do you think about the trade?
Yeah, well, which one?
All right. Yeah, you know what? Let's break it down like this. All right, so we traded the 3 pick. This is what I got here after all the confusion. So we traded the 3 to San Fran for the 12, and then we got the 2022 first and the 2023 first and a 2022 third. Then after that, we traded our own 2022 first and the 12 to go up to 6 with Philly. And then, so basically, we got the 2023 pick from San Fran. We have their 2022 first round pick, but not ours. And basically, we just moved back 3 spots. I mean, so we got to root for San Francisco next year to lose so we get a higher pick. Yeah. But what do you think?
Yeah, man, I like them both, to be honest. I know there's a segment of Twitter and social media that's kind of upset with the fact that we only got a 2023 one and a 2022 third to drop back 3 spots. But the way I look at it is Miami basically controlled the first 3 picks being quarterbacks. They've pretty much guaranteed that. So really, you know, the way I look at it is they're still picking 3rd. Of all the rest of the players, you know, Atlanta don't know what they're going to do. Cincy, you assume it's going to be, you know, tackle or Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the jump from 12 to 6 showed us that they have a guy.
Yep.
That they have somebody that they're targeting. They, you know, they wanted to get ahead of Detroit, possibly. Detroit's in need of some wide receiver help. So, all things considered, I think Miami and Greer did a great job of trading down and then trading back up. And I think there's this, you know, the same group of people that's like, oh, they should have gotten more to trade down 3 spots would be upset if they would have stayed at 12 and let their guys go in front of them. You know, why didn't they trade back up to go get their guy? So I think Miami got ahead of that. They traded back up to 6. They're targeting, you know, 1, maybe 2 guys there, and they're comfortable knowing that they're going to get one of them and then still getting future capital. I think that's a win-win for the Dolphins and Chris Greer.
I agree. I mean, at first, once I saw that we traded down to 12, I saw we got a boatload of picks and I was like, holy crap, that's insane. But then, you know, you start letting it sink in and then you're like, man, you know, if we're targeting like a weapon, is it going to be there at 12? So, you know, you had to give up a little bit to get back up there.
Right.
But it shows that they have, you know, at least a short list of guys that they don't think that guy would slip to 12. So I don't mind it. Initially, I mean, we traded down only 3 spots and we came away with 1 first round pick, an extra one, and then a 3rd round pick. I mean, that's a win for only 3 spots. We're not going to take a quarterback at 3. So we're going to get at least one of those 4 guys that you and I both like. We're going to talk about that in a bit at the 6th spot. So I think it's smart, man.
Yeah. And I think a little tidbit in this that kind of goes lost is we gave up our first round pick next year, not San Francisco's first round pick. So Miami's betting on the fact that we are going to be better than San Francisco. And on paper, I look at San Francisco's roster and that's a Super Bowl roster. They were there 2 years ago, but now you're bringing in a rookie quarterback Or, you know, they're saying Jimmy Garoppolo is still our guy, which who knows, you know, that's kind of the kiss of death. But a rookie quarterback in that system, you know, if that doesn't play well, it could be another top first half of the draft or draft pick. And I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah, I think we're going to finish with a better record than them. So I think it's smart. Hey, we're taking a chance, but I think it's a good chance to take here. You know, so we're at six. So we're on the clock. Obviously, you and I both like Pitts. We like Smith. We like Chase. We like Waddle. Some say Parsons and Sewell. I don't think Sewell would drop to that. But where would you rank like these guys in order? Let's say all of these guys are available, bro. You're on the clock. Like, give me that list like in order.
All right. So for me, Pitts is one. I just think the mismatch and, you know, the true unicorn, you know, we saw the videos on Twitter of him running a 4.46 at 250 pounds. I think he might even run faster than that game speed wise. I mean, you see the videos of him going up against Georgia or all these other teams putting their number one corners on him. He's blowing past them. So I just think that combined with his jumping, his high pointing the football, being 6'5 already, and his willingness to block, I think that that whole package to me is mismatch. And this is a mismatched league. So you get more of those guys, the better you're going to do. Smith and Waddle, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle are so neck and neck for me. I can see both sides of the argument. I have Smith just a tiny bit higher than Waddle. I think Waddle's speed is obviously huge and he can run the routes. And the first four games this year, he was on a tear before he got hurt. But Devonta Smith, the production over a longer span is what intrigues me. And watching him go up against SEC number one corner competition and just torching them, I think is so, I don't know, that's so desirable when I see something like that. And I saw a tweet, it was Devonta Smith's notable games the last two seasons. So against J.C. Horn, he had 8 catches for 136 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's massive. J.C. Horn's potentially the top corner going to go. Sean Wade, Ohio State, had 12 catches for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's massive. And then against LSU corner, Derek Stingley, who's projected to be a first rounder easily this upcoming draft, in 2 games against Derek Stingley, he had 15 catches, 444 yards, and 5 touchdowns. I mean, that type of production against number one corners, that is what I look at in the Smith versus Waddle comparison. So I have Smith option 2A, I guess I can call it, Jalen Waddle 2B, and Jamar Chase would be my third or fourth option between the four of them.
Right, right. See, with me, I've been on Smith the whole time, and I stuck by it, man. Like, for stuff like that you mentioned, I mean, going against top corners and still producing, winning the Heisman as a wide receiver, you know, people say, you know, the weight thing is an issue to them. They're scared about it. I'm not buying that, man. If you can ball and you can play and you're projected to be a first round talent, you're going to take care of your body. You're going to do what you need to do. Chad Johnson was skinny. He dominated for a long period of time. I mean, so what, man? Like, you know, he's clearly a stud. I like the whole chemistry thing that he has with Tua. So he's going to be comfortable. You don't have to worry about, you know, trying to get that going. That's already booked. So for me, Smith is number one. I would love him, but I had Chase second, but right, then yeah, after seeing everybody talk about Pitts, I didn't know too much about him. Man, dude, I did what everybody did. I looked him up. I saw the highlights and I was like, holy crap. Nah, I love this guy, man. Like, this guy is number two and it's so close that I don't mind. Either one of these guys, I don't mind. None of the four. If we walk away with any one of these four,
it's a win.
I'm down. Yeah, it's a win. But yeah, Pitts is second for reasons like you said. That mismatch, you know, he can block. Remember, Gesicki's not well at blocking. So it's fine. We can have two tight ends or we can move Gesicki to, you know, being a receiver because he's better at being a receiver. So Pitts would be awesome. I think he's great. Then after that would be Chase and then Waddle. Waddle's last for me. But it's not a knock on them. I mean, either one, like we said, it's a win, you know?
Yeah. You're talking about four great options. So exactly. Any one of the four will work in Miami. It's just personal preference at that point and what we think would fit best with what we want to do offensively.
Yeah. And you know that, you know, jumping into the sixth spot, we're guaranteed to get at least one of these guys. Yeah. We're going to have the opportunity to probably pick at least between three, maybe two of these guys.
Yeah. And I mentioned it on our show this past week with Pitts, and what's so appealing to me is Miami's big into 12 personnel and wanting to run the ball. And even 13 personnel, they've dipped into some. So I'm picturing, you know, Gesicki and Pitts and 12 personnel. And my dream would be 13 personnel, bringing in Durham Smith or Adam Shaheen. Run, run, run. And then you go no huddle. You flex Gesicki out wide and Pitts out wide. And now the defense has linebackers on both of those guys because they can't substitute. And good luck keeping up with Kyle Pitts or Mike Gesicki with a linebacker. Like, it's just so appealing. And I'm just picturing South Florida Heat running the ball, and then you bring two, three big tight ends in there. I just don't know how you would counter that.
I mean, just the thought of it, man. I mean, we already seen, you know, we saw glimpses of what Tua can be, the accuracy. You know, we've seen how Flores has changed this team, changed the culture. Just the weapons is the issue right now. That's what we need. And just thinking about having a guy like Smith or Pitts, and then, like you said, a running back. We both love the same running back. Just imagining that gets me hyped, man. So speaking of running back, obviously, yeah, me and you, big fans of Najee Harris. And at 18, man, yes, that's my lock. I'm pretty sure it's yours as well, man. Just think about it, bro. He's broken, I saw this, he's broken the rushing yards and touchdown records at Alabama. That's including running backs like Trent Richardson, who was great in college, Sean Alexander, Derrick Henry. I mean, and you look at this guy, and he's huge, man. Like, you already have an NFL body. I don't care if you're a little 1 year older than the rest of the guys, dude. You don't have the NFL mileage under you. Yeah, you carried the ball a lot, but it's different in the NFL. So you're coming in with that body. He's just ready to rock, man. I'm sold on Najee. How about you?
Yeah, dude. Najee's probably my single biggest draft crush for the entire class. I just think everything that he is and brings to the table is exactly what Miami wants and is missing. And I just, man, watching him this year was such an improvement over even last year for him collegiately. He was great, not this past year, but the year before. But then he even improved it so much just as a pass catcher. His contact balance, his vision, obviously doesn't have the breakaway speed, but I mean, I don't know. I just think Najee is such a perfect fit for this system, and getting big mauling offensive linemen and just following that and wearing teams down as the game goes on is just such an appealing prospect to me that I'm taking Najee at 18. And if I get the slightest whiff that somebody wants him before 18, I'm moving back up. That's how much I want Najee Harris.
Dude, I'm right there with you, man. Just thinking about what a dynamic running back like that will do to our offense. It'll open up the pass game. You know, it'll just, I feel like looking at Flores, I feel like usually coaches that love defense, they want to just hit the ground running the ball. And I honestly feel like he wants to get to that, but we had guys like Ahmed and Gaskins, you know, they're not those big workhorse backs.
Right.
So I feel like Flores himself even likes Najee. I hope so. And
yeah,
dude, thinking about it, man, if you can have an identity where you can just run the ball down somebody's throat and then lock up defensively, that's the type of stuff that excites me. I personally like watching stuff like that. So I'm huge on Najee, man. And
me too.
When we had Jay Ajayi, you know, obviously his knees were banged up and he wasn't a good running back for long. But when he was killing it, man, like how fun was that to see, you know, breaking those 200 yards. I love stuff like that, man.
Yeah, that was very exciting. And I get the whole never draft a running back in the first dynamic of it. And the only caveat to me saying Najee at 18, no matter what, is if I could guarantee Javonte Williams at 36, but I don't think he's there. And you can't do that. We saw them play that game last year and watch all four running backs come off before they made their selection. So if he's your guy, man, just take him.
Yep.
Just take him at 18. Don't get cute. And I hope he's their guys. You know, at the Senior Bowl, they had that interaction with him. We saw the pictures of Greer and Flores talking with Nick Saban. So, I mean, maybe they're trying to get that intel on him. But like we said, and like you said, just running the ball fits the defensive-minded coach's mentality. And I hope that Najee Harris is that guy.
I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. And like you said, you can't guarantee Javonte Williams next time. And we played that game last year. I thought, you know, okay, we're fine. I wanted to take a running back last year. I'm pretty sure everybody did.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
too.
Why would you, you know, I wanted him in Noah's spot at the 30. I thought we were going to go with Taylor or Swift at the time. And, man, you can't play that game again. You know this team needs a running back. So if we just came off a 10-win season and, you know, the goal next year is to pass that, get to 11 wins, get to the playoffs, you know, a running back can be dynamic for, let's say, 5 years. Well, this is your window, man. So take the running back if you need it. Absolutely. Don't get cute, like you said. I'm with you, man. Well, this trade that we did earlier, I mean, it kind of shows that we're committed to Tua, which you love to see. Fitzpatrick was on, I believe he was on a podcast or an interview. I don't know which one. I can't remember. But he was basically praising the accuracy of Tua, and, you know, he knows he'll be good. And he didn't understand why he had to deal with so much hate and the outside noise. You know, a lot of fans, a lot of media that were bashing him throughout the year. What do you got to say about Fitz's comments?
Yeah, this is why everyone loves Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a true pro's pro. And the dynamic and relationship that Tua and Fitz had last year seemed great. They, you know, they got along so well. Fitz was probably a great mentor to Tua. But now it's time for it to be Tua's team. I think, you know, we all wish Fitz the best going forward. But what he said about Tua and the accuracy and the unwarranted criticism, everyone knew about Tua's accuracy coming out of college. So I think that is a huge dynamic to Tua's game. And we saw that last year. He was accurate. You know, you think of his signature game in Arizona. I mean, he was just putting the ball in spots that it had to be there, and it was there on time. So I think the accuracy is a huge part of his game going forward and will continue to be. The unwarranted criticism, I don't understand. I don't understand why people are down on him. I don't. And maybe it's because Justin Herbert had such a great year that everyone is just looking at Tua and be like, oh, well, you didn't have these stats. You didn't win me fantasy football games. You suck. So I think we live in that day and age where it's just stat driven. But when you look at the stats, Tua and Burrow were nearly identical, but everyone's praising Joe Burrow. So I don't understand why it's Tua's the worst. You look at his record, he's 6-3 in 9 games. I mean, the other two guys don't have that record. Yeah, they might have gaudier stats like a Justin Herbert, but Tua, he did what he was asked to do with less weapons around him. So I think you finally put those weapons around him, give him the ability to run the offense, continue to get healthier and stronger. I mean, he's looking jacked to crap in all these videos that he's posting. So, I mean, you get it all together and then make the final determination. You know, let him have a year or two with these guys in an NFL offseason program where he doesn't have to worry about rehabbing. And he seems to be doing all of those things correctly. Then we'll make the evaluation. And I think the evaluation will shift in the media's perspective after he has the weapons and the health.
I agree, bro. And a lot of that stuff frustrated me because I think it is all based on stats. That's what people look at. They don't even watch the games. They look at the stats. Oh, this guy, you know, threw this. He's better. Man, I don't get that. I mean, Tua's coming off a crazy injury, man. I mean, his career could have been over. Herbert didn't have to deal with that. The way this dude battled to come back and to play in the NFL after those injuries, I mean, you have to praise a guy and also give a guy like that time. I mean, how do you expect it? You expect this guy to come out like Patrick Mahomes after, you know, going through the hip surgeries and all that. The dude rehab, came back, made it to the NFL, was a first round pick. And you know what? He won games. Yeah, the stats weren't great, but you know what? He wasn't shooting you in the foot. He wasn't throwing picks. He was smart. I mean, he threw a couple of interceptions, but one thing I saw about Tua, not only his accuracy, but his IQ is there. He was not forcing balls too much. You know, he was smart with it. He was winning games. Herbert wasn't winning games, man. So if you can get me the 6-3 record, playing smart, being a game manager, I look at stuff like that and I love that. I'd rather that than throwing interceptions and losing. Obviously, we all want the stats to be better as far as passing yards, and I think he'll get there. But obviously, not just because I'm a fan of the Dolphins and Tua, I really think he didn't deserve, you know, the criticism that he was getting. And like you said, this time he has a full offseason to not rehab. He's working on his body, the pictures he's posted, the videos he's posted. I mean, the dude looks great. I mean, he looks jacked up. All that stuff excites me. And I knew it was going to get to this point where now this kid has an offseason to train his body, to work on his mechanics, not rehab. And this is the moment where he's going to turn people's heads around saying, you know, Tua is the guy. And I've been seeing it already. early on, there was so many Tua haters. And lately, man, they've been kind of quiet. It's like they're slowly trying to come back and save themselves.
Hedge their bets.
they're trying to save themselves. But I always said, man, keep the same energy. And I really believe in Tua. I think he's the guy. I think he's going to turn things around, man.
Yeah, me too. And I think one of my favorite things about Tua is watching him respond to adversities. If you remember, like, that Tua documentary that I believe it was Fox Sports came out with after the draft. I mean, his family dynamic and the adversity he had to come through when his grandfather passed away, and how tight-knit the family is in that culture. That was a big adversity. And he goes out and he played his best high school game at that time. You think back to his freshman year, championship game comes in, takes that huge sack in overtime. I mean, that was like almost a game-costing sack that he took. Next play, hits that touchdown to Devonta Smith, overcame that adversity. So I think this guy just understands how to do that. And this is just another adversity he has to overcome. He did it last year already, coming off the hip injury, came in and performed as well as you could expect for a rookie quarterback. And now he has the adversity of Miami's going after Deshaun Watson. Like, they don't believe in Tua from the media side of it. And now he just has that fuel again to overcome that adversity. And I don't think I've seen him fail coming from adversity. So the drive that this kid has, I think, is going to propel him to be great.
No, that's spot on. I didn't think about it like that, but now that you mention it, that's so true. Like, how can you not root for a kid that's gone through so much and battled through and continue to prove people wrong? It looks like he likes it. I mean, the way he's responding to everything, hey, if that's what works, then screw it, man. But it kind of frustrates me, because as Dolphin fans, I really think that there shouldn't be Tua haters. Like, they should all understand it, and I don't know why they don't. But, you know, when you have a young quarterback like that, I feel like young quarterbacks, they look at social media and they look at the stuff. Although it seems like he's not bothered by it, you just never know. And I wish the fan base would just rally around him, give him some time. This kid's got a good heart. He's got a good accuracy. Before the injury, man, he was going to be the number one pick. Let's not forget about that, you know? But, I mean, I understand fans are fans, man.
Yeah, we're all wanting the same thing, right? We as Dolphins fans all want the Miami Dolphins to succeed and be the best team that they can. If you have a different preference of a player, that's fine. You know, like, you can wish Miami would have drafted Justin Herbert for the prototypical size and arm strength, but he's not a Miami Dolphin. You can wish he has a great career, but root for your team's quarterback. You know, you don't want them to fail. You want them to succeed. So let's get behind the kid, man. Let's motivate him. Let's cheer for him. Come week one at Hard Rock Stadium, if they're home, like, he's going to be the guy. Let's spend a year rooting for him and see what happens at the end of it.
Hell yeah. Spot on, bro. So right here, before we wrap up, last thing, we re-signed Landon Roberts. You know, we got more depth there at the linebacker position, which is a great thing. How do you feel about that re-signing there?
Man, I love it. I did not expect that to happen when they brought in Bernardrick McKinney. But I think the depth that they're bringing in to all these places, they're raising the floor of this roster. And I think that's so important. We've seen how injuries can just ruin a team season. But now you're bringing in all this depth. You're keeping key pieces like Landon Roberts. He's not going to be great in coverage, but he's just a run-stuffing linebacker. How many plays did he make on third and short or fourth down where he just blew the play up? Keep that here. You know, why let that walk away for a couple million dollars? I just love the offseason and the direction that they've chosen to go. Splash signing with Will Fuller. Keep depth here. Keep Vince Beagle on a veteran's minimum. It's so smart the way that Greer's continued to keep pieces for depth.
Yeah. And I mentioned it on my podcast that I like how they're not throwing themselves in jail with big signings that you can't get out of, you know, bad contracts. It's all 1 year. It's all 1 year deal. So you're maintaining flexibility. Let's say for next year, if we want to grab somebody else, retain them, let them walk. I mean, it's just so smart, and depth is so important, especially at a linebacker position. You know, they're getting a lot of tackles. They can get injured. You never know. God forbid. But you want to have these guys, especially stopping the run. That's something that the Dolphins have had struggles with year after year. And you want to have that secured. So all these free agency signings kind of lining it up so that we're able to take the best player available on the draft. And that's great. I mean, you know, you don't have to focus on a need and overdraft. Obviously, the first round, we want the offensive weapons, but I'm speaking like later on in the draft. You know, you take the best player available to round out your team.
Yeah, they did a great job of not pigeonholing themselves to require one specific thing. You know, running back probably and weapon, like you talked about, we want those things. But beyond that, I mean, we don't have to draft a linebacker in round two if we don't think that that's best player available. So, yeah, man, this bringing in all these depth pieces, like we mentioned, is crucial to going best player available in the draft, which clearly Chris Greer covets doing that over drafting for need.
Yeah, I don't mind it, man. All this stuff it's just exciting. I tell Dolphin fans all the time, there's no need to get mad now. I believe we're headed in the right direction with Chris Greer and Flores. I mean, we're able to come off a 10-win season now. So let's just be optimistic, man. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's any reason to be upset with what's happening. It's just positive things from here on out. And like we mentioned earlier, let's continue to root for this team because that's our team, you know, doesn't benefit us to not root for them. So I think we're in good hands. Greer's turning into one of the best GMs, you know, just making all these trades and seemingly being one step ahead of everybody, and Flores going out to fight other coaches for his team.
Love it.
Is the combo that we've been looking for, it seems.
No, for sure, man. I love Flores, man. He's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brandon, man, I want to thank you once again for coming on. This was great, bro.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. Let's look forward to doing it again in the future.
For sure. Guys, don't forget, you can follow him on Twitter at FinFanForLife91. I'll post that in a tweet, and make sure you check out his podcast. And Brandon, I'll see you soon, brother.
Yeah, man. Have a good one.
All right, so we're going to dive right into the Miami Heat. And what can I say? I mean, the losses, the losing streak, this was a rough week to say the least as far as games being played and the results in those games. But I'm not looking too far into that, because we're in the Eastern Conference at the end of the day, and we can fall and climb so quick that I'm not worried about it. I mean, we're in the midst of the trade deadline this past week. You know, we're going through that. All these players are stressed. It's fine. I'm looking at the positive. I'm putting the losing streak behind us. Reinforcements are on the way. They're here, and it's great to see. So let's just talk about the positives. Let's dive into the trades that Pat Riley pulled off. And that's right, we acquired Victor Oladipo, as you all know, and Nemanja Bjelica. So let me give you a breakdown of both of these guys. So we recently acquired Victor Oladipo from the Houston Rockets, and the price we got him for is insane. I couldn't believe it. I can't believe Pat Riley pulled this off. We traded Avery Bradley, who wasn't in the rotation. He was injured. We couldn't get him healthy. He couldn't get acclimated in the offense, in the system, and even on the roster. I mean, like I said, with the injury. So we let him go. We let Kelly Olynyk go, who was valuable to our team. Don't get me wrong. You know, he provided some good things, good defense here and there for taking charges, at least not on ball defense. But, you know, he put the ball in the basket and he was a stretch four. So it lost, you know, losing him. But we all wanted to move forward because we got a replacement in Kelly Olynyk. So we can still do the same things, but even better, because in my opinion, Bjelica is better than Kelly Olynyk, but I'm going to tell you why in a little bit. Let's stick on Oladipo. So we got rid of Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, and a lottery protected swap. I mean, for Oladipo? That's insane. I mean, we got him for nothing. Nothing. So as we all know, Victor Oladipo was a two-time All-Star in Indiana before his injuries, but he's 28 years old right now. I mean, he averaged 23 points a game, 5-4 as an All-Star while shooting 47%. Obviously, then he got injured and he hasn't touched 20 points per game since then until this year, though. Man, that 23-5-4 as an All-Star shooting 47%, that excites me, man. If we can get somewhere close to that, I mean, you're asking for a lot if you want him to play at that All-Star level. I don't think that's going to happen. But if he can play somewhat close to that level, man, this is going to be a huge, huge, huge win for the Miami Heat. I mean, it excites me because, listen, we all know Victor Oladipo wanted to come here for such a long time. I mean, he trains here. He loves Jimmy Butler. He loves Bam Adebayo. He loves Miami. You know, he's close with Wade. He's been wanting to come here for such a long time, and that's well known, well documented, well known. Everybody knows it. So I'm not really judging him on his Houston struggles and the Indiana struggles at the end of the year, last year and all that. I'm giving him a fresh, clean slate because I believe if you truly want to play somewhere, and once you get to that destination, which is the Miami Heat here, you're going to try even harder and you're going to go and play at the best level that your body will allow you to play at. So I think the injuries are behind him. He just needed a better fit. He needed a better coach, better people around him. And I really think we're going to get something close to that all-star level Victor Oladipo. And that excites me. But the thing about Oladipo that just excites me, it's not only the offense. It's not about, you know, me thinking 20 points per game is all he's going to do. It's about his defense. His defense, his on-ball defense, his ability to pick pockets, anticipation is great. That type of stuff is going to be amazing, and that's what we thrive on in the Heat. We like stealing the ball. Jimmy Butler likes getting after it. We want defense in this team, and we desperately needed it at a guard position. We can't have Tyler on an island. We can't have Goran on an island. You know, Goran can lock up when he needs to in the playoffs, but he's a bit older. We needed help. Kendrick Nunn, he can't play defense that well. Yeah, it's improved. But we really needed a Victor Oladipo in here to guard guards, especially looking in if we play in the playoffs. I mean, if he has to guard a James Harden, a Kyrie Irving, again, you can't stop these players, but you can make it hard on them. You can be physical with them. Victor Oladipo, to have a guard like that on defense, this is such a win. I mean, for giving up Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk, I cannot believe Pat Riley pulled this off. I'm excited. I know you guys are too. It's crazy. So let's talk a little bit about the numbers. So this year in Indiana, in the beginning of the season, he averaged 20.8 points a game. And then when he got traded to Houston, he averaged 21.2 points per game. Now he's 28 years old. The field goal percentage has to get more efficient, but I'm not judging him because he was playing in Houston. You're going to get shots up over there, especially with all the trade rumors going on. John Wall being in and out with his injuries, Christian Wood being out, he's going to take a lot of shots. So I'm not really worried about the efficiency and the field goal percentage because I think that's going to skyrocket on an offense like we have next to Jimmy and Bam, who constantly attack the paint. And, he's going to have room to operate. So I think the efficiency is going to get there. Obviously, the three-point percentage is not as good, but he can do so many other things and he can just flat-out score that I'm praising him here because I think this is going to be the key. If we want to get to the finals, Oladipo has to be like, give me those 20 points a game. Give me that defense. When I was looking at these stats, there's so much reason to be optimistic. I mean, he's only 28 years old. I firmly believe between 28 to 32 is kind of where you're playing your best basketball. You know, it's kind of in between your prime at the end of it. But, you know, you've gone through the league, you know what your body's been through, you know the treatment to get, you know how to play and how to be a professional at that age. So I'm excited. And like I said, the reason why I feel this way, think about it. He always wanted to play here. I said it earlier. He's going to be even more motivated to play alongside Jimmy, alongside Bam, and in Miami where he always wanted to play. Let's be real. I can't wait to see Oladipo, you know, get his feet under him and put these game under his belt. And I can't wait to see how it's going to play out at the end of the season, for the rest of the season, going into the playoffs. Victor Oladipo, welcome to Miami. And that leads on to our second edition. We got Nemanja Bjelica from Sacramento. We traded Mo Harkless and Chris Silva, who basically everybody was out on. They weren't playing. We basically got another one for free. I don't know how Pat Riley pulls this off, but hey, he's the godfather, right? He's the godfather. He can make anything work. So I look at Nemanja Bjelica. To me, I've watched a lot of Kings games over the years, and he is a great player. I'm talking high IQ. He's a hard worker. I've watched it. Trust me, I've watched it, and this is an upgrade from Kelly Olynyk. A lot of people might disagree with me, but I'm an NBA junkie and I watch a lot of other teams when the Heat aren't playing. Nemanja Bjelica will help this Heat team. I really believe that. And you guys are just going to see the IQ, like I said, the hard work. He can shoot the three. He's efficient. If you look at the stats on this year, you can't judge him off that because he's over there in Sacramento. You know, they're losing games at the time. Now they're in a little bit of a winning streak. But still, they have Luke Walton. It's very dysfunctional over there. You know, you're getting minutes and then you're not getting minutes. You can't get comfortable. But if you look at the 2 years prior, that's when he was getting consistent minutes. He was in the starting lineup at times. And that's the Nemanja Bjelica that I know. And that's the Bjelica that I believe that the Heat are going to get. And the thing about Bjelica is he's a pro's pro. He can be in the starting lineup. He can play like that Luke Babbitt, Myers Leonard, Kelly Olynyk role that we've been playing in the Heat offense that Spoelstra likes, where you're playing the first 5 minutes of a game and then the first 5 minutes of the second half. Or he can come off the bench. He's a smart player. He's a hard worker. As long as you're giving him minutes consistently, I really feel like he's going to help this team. I mean, the year before last year, he averaged 9.6 points a game, 5.8 rebounds. He shot 47% from the field and 40% from three. That is huge. You know, you're able to rebound a little bit and shoot the three. And Smart, I'm telling you guys, this guy is a steal. I really mean that. So that was the year before last. Now, last year, he was on a tear. This is, again, consistent minutes. He was playing games. He was getting minutes. This season, I don't know why Luke Walton wasn't playing him. He should have been in that Kings rotation. I mean, who are you putting it ahead of him? I didn't understand that. But look, last year, career highs, 11.5 points a game, 6.4 rebounds, 2.8 assists. So he jumped the category in points a game, rebounds. You know, if you're stretching the floor, shooting threes, and you're getting rebounds too, that's great. He shot 48% and over 41% from 3-point. So he improved field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, assist, rebounds, 11 points a game. So points a game as well. 2.8 assists. Listen, he can pass. He'll find you backdoor. He moves the ball. This guy is the guy that you really would want on your team, especially this Heat team. So I'm excited for Nemanja Bjelica. The reinforcements are here. Looks like we got our full roster. You know, Oladipo, Bjelica, Bam, Goran, Nunn, Duncan, Tyler, they're all still here. And I'm excited. I'm excited. I know it's going to take a little bit of time for these guys to really, really get the groove of playing with each other. But hey, you look at this roster, and for what we gave up and what we still have, I really think the Miami Heat, our Miami Heat, are a top three team in the Eastern Conference when it's all said and done at the end of the season. We're in the East, guys. So don't be worried that we drop, you know, all these games in a row and, you know, a little bit of the losing habits. We're going to get on track. Oladipo is going to be back. Nemanja Bjelica is going to get himself acclimated. All of them. We're going to learn how to play with each other. Like I said, Eastern Conference, we can climb up those standings fast. This is all a great time to be excited for Miami sports fans. The Heat, the Dolphins, Pat Riley, all these guys. We're just doing things the right way. And listen, Oladipo, 28 years old. If it all works out, we have his bird rights now. We bring him back. Listen, buckle up. Heat basketball is back, and I really think we're going to hit the ground running once everybody gets their feet under them. So I quickly want to look ahead at this week's games. Tomorrow, we play Indiana at Indiana. There are fans there, so it's going to be crazy seeing Oladipo play in Indiana, and I hope he lights them up. I mean, he might. You got a couple easy games here, and I'm excited for it because Oladipo, Bjelica, we all have to get this thing figured out. So I think this is a good time to figure things out. Like I said, I'm not worried if we lose, we drop some games here because we're in the East. But for prediction's sake, I'm going to predict we beat the Pacers tomorrow night. And after that, we play Golden State. We play them at home. We lost to them before in a game that we should have won. But I think Curry's out. He's been out. I don't know if he's going to come back for this one. I'm going to predict that as a win as well. And then Saturday night, we play the Cavaliers, another easy team to beat. These are all times to get right, get the flow going. And I'm going to predict that as a win. So let's go 3-0 this week. Hopefully we see some good Heat basketball. And guys, be excited. Enjoy this. The Heat are in a great position to succeed. All right, so that wraps up episode 11. Thank you all again for tuning in. And I want to thank my guy, Brandon, for jumping on the podcast, talking Dolphins. I hope you all enjoyed that one. That was fun. Hey, remember to follow me on Twitter if you haven't already, at SportsVibes305. You can reach out to me there anytime. With that being said, I'll see you all here next Tuesday and every Tuesday after that. Thanks for listening to the Miami Sports Vibes Podcast with Nando Diaz.